On today's Growth Points, I want to speak for a moment about the subject of restoration. And this is a subject that can be a minimal situation with someone that perhaps has just had a slight offense. It can go all the way to someone that's delved into deep sin and needs a full repentance, perhaps even before the church body, and then a body of restoring counselors to bring them back maritally or whatever the case might be. So restoration is a large word, but I'd like to speak to you about some basic principles on restoration with respect to someone in particular who is away from the Lord, not necessarily in a deep sin situation, but just someone that you're burdened to see them come back into the fellowship, into a walk with God and His local body. And of course, Galatians chapter 6 is the classic text that says that you which are spiritual, restore such an one with the spirit of meekness. And I heard years ago in Bible college, someone said that fundamental Bible-believing Baptists are the only army to sometimes kill their own wounded. And sometimes we can turn our back on someone that has that's blown it. And certainly, we're not talking here about restoring someone who fell out of ministry with immorality back to the pulpit. That's not where I'm going with this. But I am saying that the church has to be the place for broken lives to get put back together. And it has to be the place where people who have stepped aside from walking with the Lord to have a second chance. And so the Bible teaches, of course, that our love must abound with all knowledge and judgment. That's a critical passage in Philippians 1, 9 through 10. Some of us have a more of a prophetic gift. We have the ability to see sin, 100 miles away. Some people have more of a mercy gift. And when you get the mercy showers involved in restoration, which they should be, sometimes they will not have a biblical process that really allows for full, true restoration. So it needs to be something approached with biblical guidance, and we need to let our love abound with all knowledge and judgment or discernment. So some things we want to remember. First of all, when we're dealing with someone that has stepped away from biblical guidelines for their life, I usually like to ask them some inductive questions rather than coming across with an accusatory style. Years ago, I heard someone say that accusations harden the will, but questions stimulate the conscience. And some of the questions I like to ask is, hey, I've heard this situation has happened. Is it true? Has there been some problem in your life that I haven't known about? How long have you struggled with this sin? How long have you struggled with this attitude? Who have you talked to with about this before? Do you recognize this as sin? Would you want counseling and help? Ask them these types of questions to get them into the conversation. One of the biggest challenges with restoring someone is if they're just flat out lying about what's happened. I've had situations where I've had just proof sitting right at my desk about certain circumstances, whether it's some kind of an email or some kind of a bill on someone's credit card that the wife brought in or whatever, and they just deny. And you really want to bring them to the place where they will repent. And one of the best ways to do that is just by asking them how things are, what's going on, is this report true? Secondly, you then want to share your counsel from a very biblical standpoint. You want to challenge them to bring forth fruits of repentance. You want to challenge them to seek forgiveness and to be willing to confess their sin to the Lord and to anyone they've offended, if that's the nature of the counseling situation. D.L. Moody was asked about conflict resolution, and he said, I should keep at them until they make up or have left the church. In other words, he said, I'm going to stay after them until things get right or if they decide to leave. I've had that happen, but I've always tried to help restore someone if at all possible. I want to establish that opportunity for them. So first I'm asking inductive questions, then I'm trying to establish the opportunity for restoration. The other thing in this process I want to just mention is be sure to maintain confidences. If somebody speaks to you about these issues. Maybe a wife about a husband about a wife, someone in the church saw something. Work very diligently to maintain confidence. Proverbs 25:19. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. Make sure to keep counseling confidences. Make sure if you have a Christian school to keep confidences there. It's actually illegal to take issues that you know about and proliferate those. And sometimes people form opinions and you want to say, yeah, well, let me tell you what really happened, but you can't. And that's where you hopefully have a basis of trust that people will understand that you are doing your best for the Lord. And so maintain confidences. And then, of course, the final thing I want to say about restoration is work with the offended party. You've got to get them to have a forgiving spirit. If the offender is willing to say, yeah, I was wrong, then we've got to encourage the offended party to forgive. And that's when restoration comes together. And that's what we're all about. God is more interested in resolving the problem than assigning blame. And in this blame-shifting world in which we live, we need some problem solvers in the church. And I pray God will use you to do that this week.